whatever.
You've made it to Cup of Taboo. Hi, I'm Tyler. Thank you for joining us. I got a new toy, look what I can do. Thank you guys, thank you. Today, I will be talking the part 2 of Order of the Solar Temple. Now, in part 1, I spoke about the group's history and the leaders of the group, and today I will tell you all about the transits. Just a quick recap, the Order of the Solar Temple, or the OTS, was a group or a cult. It was based around about in the 80s and 90s, and it was in Switzerland and Geneva. No, that's not correct. Switzerland and Canada. Now, this cult was run by two men, namely Luc Jouret and Joseph Dimambro. They had Templar New Age beliefs and traditions, and they were pretty much obsessed with purity and secrecy and, what's the word I'm looking for? Supremacy, almost. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm going to stick with it. Now, they really just seem to attract wealthy and important people into this group. They managed to make wealthy people think, wow, I want to be part of this group. And they did get into some trouble in the 90s because, you know how when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong? When it rains, it pours. Well, that happened for them. There was some bad publicity, there was some legal stuff, and there was just a couple things that just kind of made it a bit meh for them. And, you know, it kind of, people question whether these run-ins with the law and the bad publicity and all that kind of stuff is maybe what tempted them to commit the transits when they did. But this is just, how you say, speculation. We will never really know. Before I start, I just want to say a huge thank you if you joined me here because you listened to my first episode. So, in other words, if you're one of my three friends that are listening to this, I am so excited. Started to be doing this, but because I'm a noob, I am very sorry if there are audio issues, and like I said, I have a new toy, which I'm still learning how to use, but here we are, trying our best, living our best lives, as long as you get the information right. So, get your learning pants on, get your beverage of choice, mine is wine! And get ready to get that information served in your cup of taboo. Haha, how cool, right? Warning, the following audio may contain graphic descriptions. Listener discretion is advised. At 1 o'clock in the morning on the 5th of October, 1994, a fire was reported in Chieri, which is a small town in Switzerland, and yes, I did have to Google it, because geography is hard, and basically when the cops got there, the barn was completely engulfed in flames, it seemed. And they were like, oh, damn. Anyway, they had volunteer firefighters hard at work trying to put out the fire. And when they eventually did put it out, the police were able to go inside to investigate the scene, obviously. And what they saw inside was intriguing, to say the least. Now, as they stepped in, what they saw was canisters of propane and garbage bags full of petrol, hooked to detonation devices that had somehow failed, all over the entrance to this barn/house. So, apparently you could smell it, and thankfully those ones didn't go off because they were able to find out so much, just with the lack of burntness in this area. So there are a bunch of victims, and I tried to get everyone's names, but unfortunately, my research skills are not that good. But I will name the few that I did find. The first body that the police found was Albert Giacobino, which I probably said wrong. Sorry. Now, he had a plastic bag over his head, but upon further investigation, they realized he had been shot in the head, but there was no bullet hole in the plastic bag, but there was a bullet in his head. You see where I'm going with this. So he was shot first, and then the plastic bag was pulled over his head. Now, that sort of leads you to think it was murder. I mean, which it was, but besides the point. Also, there was no gun near him, so it's not like his little ghost quickly came along and was like, oh, better take this away. No. No. Oh, speaking of ghosts, I got the cutest little ghost tattoo today. I'm just so excited about it. Anyway, back to what I was doing. ADD is difficult. It obviously looked like a murder, not suicide. So, they were just like, suspicious. Now, while they were searching, they happened to find a secret room. Because remember, I said in these places, they had all these secret rooms filled with mirrors and secret doors and just so many secrets. And they, in the secret room, they found 10 to 15 suitcases all lying on the floor, papers strewn about all over the place. And these papers were not fully burnt, so they were still there, you know, just damaged, but not gone. And all of these papers had to do with the OTS. And you'll find out later that they had actually meant to burn everything so as to keep the mystery and the secrets of the Order of the Solar Temple a secret, basically. Now, just as the police were about to leave, they found another secret door. What's behind door number two? Ding, 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 ding. Now, this was at the back of the room. And behind the door was a long corridor, and at the end of that corridor was a room. I would love to see the planning of this place, like the house plans. Now, this is where it gets a little bit rough. In this room, there were 18 bodies, all dressed in their white silk capes with the big red crosses on them. And they were arranged in a circle, radiating outwards like the spokes of a wheel. There is sort of like a drawing of it that I'll put on my Instagram. It's a bit culty. Yeah. Now, beyond this circle of bodies, which I might add included three children, there was a door that opened to another smaller room, which there had been three more bodies. And then there was another small room in which another singular body was found alone. Altogether in Cherry, there was 23 people that had died. 20 of them had been shot by one gun. 65 bullets had been fired. And half of them had plastic bags over their heads. Now, nobody really knows the significance of the plastic bags, but the running theory is that it had something to do with Luke Charest's theory that the world was too polluted and it was going to be destroyed by pollution or plastic. No, I mean, I get what he's saying because plastic is bad, but anyway. The other theory is that these people were somehow traitors to the group and they were seen as pollution and this is how they were punished, even though they were on this transit journey to the star, wherever they were going. It was also reported after the autopsies that some of the members had, in fact, ingested some sedatives. That's a lot of people, as it is. I mean, 23 is already like, oof, shoo, that's a lot. But then, the police received a call from a town called, I'm going to say Selvan, it's actually Grange, Sir Selvan, but I'm just going to say Selvan, which was about 60 kilometers away, where there were three vacation villas that had caught fire. Now, these villas belonged to Camille Pellet, the former Piaget Watches Director, Joseph DiMambro and Luc Jouret. You recognize those names, right? Now, the detonation devices in this instance had not failed, and it was very badly burned. And inside these villas, they found 25 bodies scattered around. Most of them were burned beyond recognition. And this is where Joseph DiMambro, Camille Pillet, and their families were found. And at first, the police believed that Luc Jouret had done all of it. But later, through dental records, his body was confirmed to be one of the very burnt bodies in this instance, along with his ex-wife. So special. So at this time, the police in Quebec heard about the fires in Switzerland, and they were like, whoa, hold on, there's a connection. There was a strange fire that happened in Morin Heights on the morning of the 4th of October. So there, a blaze had engulfed a complex of luxury condos owned by, you guessed it, Pillet DiMambro Jouret, and this time also Dominique Bellaton. So inside these condos, a Swiss couple named Jerry and Colette Gnaud had, again, I'm so sorry, pronunciation is hard. They had perished with no obvious signs of violence, and it just kind of looks like they had fallen asleep and burned to death. Now, after the events of Switzerland, the police were like, actually, you know, there's a lot of connections here, so we should probably investigate this a little bit more. Now, let me just tell you, the police were useless in this instance. Like, they literally left buildings for months where people could just walk into this charred remain of the skeleton of the building and, like, pick stuff up and evidence, you know? But anyway, whatever. After the events of Switzerland, the police were like, we gon' go back. On the 6th of October, they went back, and they found three more bodies. Oh, what? Hidden in a closet. I mean, the fact that they missed it in the first place is a little bit, sketchy. But these bodies belonged to Antonio Dutoy, Nikki Dutoy, and their three-month-old baby, Christopher Emmanuel Dutoy. Now, you remember them, right? Antonio was stabbed 50 times. Nikki was stabbed 8 times in the back, 4 times in the throat, and once in each breast. And the baby was stabbed once in the heart. It was said that it was with a wooden stake, but it was never confirmed. Now, if you'll remember correctly, Antonio, or Tony, as it was called, Tony! What's your name? Tony! Fuck you, Tony! I'm sorry. He was the technical guy that would do the special effects and the trickery for DiMambro. And Nikki was DiMambro's daughter Emanuela's tutor and pretty much her babysitter. Now, Antonio and Nikki left the OTS in 1991. They had just kind of had enough of it. You know, it was just, they were pretty much outcasts at that point, and they were done with it, and, you know, they left. However, Antonio, or Tony, still did the technical work because he needed the money and they needed his skills. It was said that after Nikki had suffered from a miscarriage, DiMambro forbade her from bearing any children. But after the Dutoys left Switzerland and moved to Quebec, they gave birth to a son whose middle name was Emmanuel. DiMambro described the Dutoys as polluted, and their baby as a reincarnation of the Antichrist. It was said that DiMambro had ordered the killing of the Dutoys because they gave birth to the Antichrist, and then had the balls to name him Emmanuel after his daughter Emanuela. I mean, how dare you? So, according to a man named Terry Hugelin, DiMambro had told Jerry Gnaud that he was the reincarnation of the soldier who had pierced Christ with his lance, and in order to pay for this terrible crime, he has to destroy the Antichrist and his parents in a rite of purification. Yes, because you were supposedly the person who had supposedly stabbed Christ with your lance, you have to go and kill a 3-month-old baby and its parents. Makes total sense, boss. I'll do it. I'll do it right away. It makes me mad. Makes me mad. Now, Terry Huguenin, the man that I just mentioned, had also left the group at some time, and he also had money that needed to be returned to him, that was owed to him. So, on the 4th of October, Zamumbro gave him a call, ring ring, hey Terry, I got your money. You gotta come collect it. Yo, yo. So, Terry was like, sweet, cash dollar. And he drove over 100 kilometers to get to the farmhouse in Cherry to collect his money from Zamumbro. And he said that he had a really bad feeling when he arrived. And when Zamumbro opened the door, there was this whiff of petrol so strong that Terry could smell it from a few feet outside of the door. Then Zamumbro said, Oh, I've got the money inside. You know, why don't you come in while I quickly go get it? You know, just come in. Come in. Join us. And Terry was like, No. Actually, don't worry about it. Turned around, got in his car, drove back home. That was probably the smartest thing he had ever done. Just saying. So, overall, in the first transit, 53 people died, including Zamumbro's oldest son, Elio, who had denounced the group years before, as well as Jure's ex-wife, as I mentioned. And if Terry had gone inside, could have been 54 people that had died. He is convinced that if he had gone inside, he would have been murdered. Now, were they trying to reach the number 54 people, like the original Knights Templar? Because they were so obsessed with Templar, traditions and Templar beliefs, that they thought that this would be like a nice little tribute. This is just a tribute. I don't know. No one knows. So, during the investigation into the deaths, a, quote, beautiful woman in her 40s came into the police office dressed in a dark red cape and draped in necklaces and little crosses. She was devastated, and she told the police that she had not been summoned to the transit. So, the detective replied, quote, transit, 20 out of 23 with bullets in their heads. What kind of a transit is that? And she answered, listen, they all wanted the transit, but they didn't have the courage to go. I might not have had the courage either, and I would have been happy if someone had helped me. If it was necessary, why not? Unquote. Yeah. She was upset that she hadn't been invited to a murder-suicide party, basically. Like, how dare they not invite me? I wanted to die. Basically. I wonder if she's still alive today. Anyway, that is not the end of it, friends. No. 14 months after the first transit, on the night, so from December 15th leading into December 16th in 1995, which happened to be the winter solstice, 16 people, that is 13 adults and 3 children, were found burnt to charred in a clearing in France, close to the Swiss border. Their bodies were arranged in a star formation. And the police investigation revealed that 14 of the 16 victims had ingested sedatives and were then shot twice. 2 of the members had been assigned the job of killing the other 14. And what they did is they killed them, arranged the bottles, sprayed the bodies with an accelerant, and they then sprayed their own bodies, set it all on fire, and then shot themselves in the head. Witness accounts collected by the Swiss and French police show that shortly after the 1994 transit, the remaining members continued to meet in secret, and some had regretted that they had not been part of the first transit. So, while some were outraged by the circumstances surrounding the first transit, they gradually came to the conclusion that the methods used by Luc Charest and Joe Dumumba were in fact positive. At first they were really mad about the fact that people were shot and plastic bagged. And then they sort of realized, they were like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe that's the way we have to do it. The members had sacrificed themselves in order to save the world and pave the way for future transits. So, they did decide to use the same methods. That's the murder-suicide, I guess. Fire. So, the following year, the police were ready. They were like, no, we're not going to let this happen. We're ready for a fire. We're going to get there. It's going to happen. But it didn't. They were like, yes, it's over. The last few of them are gone. But nope. No. Again. On March 22nd, 1997, in Saint-Casimir, Quebec, five people were found dead. They had also committed suicide in a similar fashion to the previous transits. So police had discovered a letter explaining that they had taken this action to ensure a path to a new world. There were three teenagers found in a shed behind the house. They were heavily sedated. They had said that they were given the choice on whether they wanted to take the transit, and they chose not to. I'm glad that they at least were given that choice, because obviously in the previous ones, the kids were not given any choices, which hurt. Now, one of those deceased members in the third transit was Rosemary Klaus's ex-husband Bruno Klaus, the one that I mentioned in part one. So I'm pretty sure she's glad that she got out of there. Overall, 74 people had died during these transits. And there has been a lot of discussion on whether it was murder or suicide. And in Chiri, the people who were shot, they were all shot with a single gun, which also only fired one bullet at a time. So, you know, this is where I'm getting at. So the one gun is like, okay, yeah, cool, it's murder. These people were all murdered. But the fact that it only shot one bullet at a time, like, I mean, imagine you're in a room and like, somebody shoots somebody else. You're going to run, generally, if you can, obviously. But it didn't seem like that. It just seems like, as the woman said, they were helped along. But, I mean, obviously, all children murdered. There's no way to even go around that. The Du Toits murdered because they had defied Dumumba and were supposedly spreading rumors and harboring the Antichrist, but you know. I believe the only true suicides were the bigwigs. And even they could have been murdered. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Nobody really knows. So there have been many conspiracies that have come from this, and one or two of them that I can mention is that Dumumba and Juret were using the group as a front for arms dealing and money laundering, and that it wasn't actually their bodies that were found. And the other one, which is my favorite one, is that the members of the OTS were murdered and their deaths were made to look like suicides to cover up a deal made between President Carter and some extraterrestrials who had built an underground lab in Nevada. I mean, what? That is so juicy. That's my theory. Well, that's the theory I'm sticking with. I like that one. Now, I personally believe that the leaders of the group were too egotistical to let all their hard work and lies come to the surface. And on top of Dumumba's failing health, the tipping points with the bad publicity and the run-in with the law and all that stuff, it was what led them to persuade the members to commit the transit. And unfortunately, I think when people are so wrapped up in things like this, in cults, in groups, in anything, they believe the leaders so wholeheartedly that they would do whatever it takes to stay in their good books. And it will make somebody who is completely normal become a murderer or commit suicide. And it's complete brainwashing. I do just want to finish off with a few lines from their final testament, which was mailed out to the press and other high-ranking officials. So this is translated from French, and it's not the entire thing. It's way too long to read out loud. But I've just chosen a few of the lines that stood out to me. To all those who can still understand the voice of wisdom, we address this last message. The plan of action of these beings was collected and programmed within the crypts or the sanctuaries according to precise parameters hidden from the secular world but recognized by the initiated. We, the servants of the Rose Plus Cross, declare that throughout all eternity, Solar and Universal Temple manifests itself amongst men according to cycles of activity and dormancy. After having solemnly opened their doors on March 21, 1981, in Geneva, in a secret lodge, the ancient domain of the Malta Order, its final esoteric action lasted 11 years. During this cycle, the Grail, Excalibur, the Candelabra of the Seven Branches, and the Ark of the Covenant were revealed to living witnesses, the final and faithful servants of the eternal Rose Plus Cross. Following which, false slanders and every kind of treason and scandal, judiciously orchestrated by different existing powers, sounded the knell for her last attempt to regenerate the plans of conscience. Those who have breached our code of honor are considered traitors. They have suffered and will suffer the punishment they deserve for the ages of the ages. All is accomplished according to the mandates of imminent justice. We hereby affirm that we are in truth the judges appointed by a superior order. In view of the present irreversible situation, we, the servants of the Rose Plus Cross, strongly reaffirm that we are not a part of this world and we are perfectly aware of the coordinates of our origins and our future. We, the servants of the Rose Plus Cross, consider the urgency of the present situation, affirm that we refuse to participate in systems set up by this decadent humanity, that we have planned in a full state of consciousness without any fanaticism our transit, which has nothing to do with suicide in the human sense of the term, that according to a decree emanating from the Great White Lodge of Sirius, we have closed and voluntarily blown up all the sanctuaries of the secret lodges so they will not be desecrated by impostors or by the ignorant, that from the planes where we will work from now on and by a just law of magnetism, we will be in the position calling back the last servants capable of hearing this message. Whatever those who hear this last message may think, the Elder Brothers and we ourselves affirm that whatever the means used, we have worked impersonally, nobly fought the battle, without ever using the weapons of the adversary, neither destruction, nor violence, nor hatred, nor fanaticism, but in a full state of consciousness and in perfect accord with the laws of the universe. Our actions have gone beyond the material and human context of our environment to reach the planes of life itself, so as to define the path of return of a whole cosmic evolution. Having transmitted all the knowledge and the means to permit man to be a great creative and universal being, the Elder Brothers and ourselves refuse to participate in the assassination of our bearer, the Earth, and we remove ourselves from this world where our voices can no longer be heard. Space is short, time is ending. It is with an unfathomable love, ineffable joy, and without any regret that we leave this world. Men, cry not over our fate, but rather cry for your own. Ours is more enviable than yours. And that was mailed out to press, politicians, all those people. Now, here's a quick word from Herman Delorme, who was speaking on whether he could have committed the transit or not. So here's Herman.
Killed myself? No. At least, God, I hope not. I asked the question to a friend of mine who knew Jouret and Demembro for 15 years. Is it possible that I could actually have committed suicide? And that person answered, Herman, try to remember what your attitude and your mental dispositions were early 1993. Keep pushing it for another 6 months. And then put yourself in a situation at a certain time, a certain place, where through meditations, through rituals, you are continually engrossed in that and kept going forward and forward and forward. She says, it could have happened. And it might have. It might have, but I don't believe that. That I could actually... No, what scares me, and probably worse than anything, is when I realize that maybe I could have pulled the trigger, but not on myself. That scares me.
It's a very scary thing to think of, because if you are involved in something like that, you kind of have to think, would you be able to do it? I mean, most of us say no, but I suppose you never know until you're in that situation. So it is with that I finish off my chapter on the Order of the Solar Temple. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. Really, I do. Now, next week, I am going to talk about the Krugersdorp serial killers, because I'm from Krugersdorp. But anyway, I hope that you keep it real, and I hope that you have a wonderful week. And I will chat to you guys next time. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Ciao. Bye. Bye.